This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It is all Knicks, and we were saying before the break here, as the Knicks get set for game four tonight in Indiana, trying to even the series at two games apiece, what's the better way to try and beat this Pacer team? For me, I don't want to look at the opponent as much as I want to look at the team. I know that you got to adjust and go based off the opponents, and the Pistons are different from the Celtics, and the Pacers are different from the Celtics, whatever it may be. But I think the Knicks' greatest strength should be their offense. It is clear. With some good defensive parts, individual defensive parts, that you want to clamp down on certain individuals later in the game. But I'm going pedal to the metal offense. Win or lose, succeed or fail, I believe that is how they're built. Look at the strength of what they... Brunson and Kat are their two best players. Those guys are offensive guys. I'm going down with that, even against a team that plays at a higher pace and that may be better as a whole offensively.
I'm going to go the other way. The two best players are also their two biggest issues. And maybe if the Pacers were not coached by Rick Carlisle, so I'm going to go defense. That's my answer. Carlisle's ability to exploit what the Knicks are trying to do defensively is so easy for him when you've got, 40-plus minutes of Towns and Brunson. I think you stagger the minutes, and that's my big thing today. If you missed anything, by the way, guys, the open free Odyssey app, go check it out. That's what I would do because I think Carlisle's too good. It's too easy for him.
BT and Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. The number to call, Jay is in Thornwood, New York. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. Maybe you could give me a couple minutes because you hung up on me on Friday. I was the guy that called and couldn't get over the game one loss. I don't know if you remember. But you gave me a hard time.
Go ahead, Jay. All right, you have the floor.
So I thought that game three, I agree with both of you. I think game three, one of the best things to come out of that is I didn't have to watch them campaign, be a turnover waiting to happen. I agree with the staggering of the minutes. And I really think, as far as tonight goes, too, if Bridges comes out and he's not hitting his shot, I wouldn't mind seeing Deuce get a few more minutes. He's been great this series.
Mm-hmm.
On both ends of the floor.
He was good against the Celtics, too, by the way, shooting.
Well, he was going to get more minutes if he didn't have three fouls in 1 minute. You can't have that. He basically didn't play the first half because of that.
Yeah, that whistle, they really haven't been getting the benefit of the whistle at all this series. I'm just looking forward to the game tonight. And I really think whoever wins tonight is really going to take the series. And I like that.
Now I know why I hung up on you. All right, thank you for the call, Jay.
Thank you, Jay. That grinding halt. I just get what you mean.
We appreciate checking in. Yeah, I thought that initially, BT, as I was going through some thoughts this morning about tonight's game, and I'm thinking, man, whoever wins game four is going to win the series. But then I started to think a little bit deeper about it. I don't believe that that's the case. Obviously, if the Knicks win tonight, I feel confident in saying they're going to win the series. But even if the Knicks lose, and this is not a fanboy homer thing, I tell you, if I felt like they were going to lose this series, the way that it is down 3-1 with two games still remaining at home against a team that I still believe they're better than, I'm not going to say that if the Knicks don't win tonight, they're done. Now, I felt that way in game two. I didn't going into game two, I was like, they have to win this game. Can't go down 0-2. But the fact that they made up for it by winning game three and now showing that they could also get off the mat, I'm not going to bury them even if they lose tonight. But if they do win, I think the Pacers are done.
Well, I trust their resilience and I certainly trust their talent, which is why when we went into game two, I said I didn't think game two was a must win, even though the Knicks were down 0-1. So along the same lines, I do think, and I always thought this series was going to have great depth and, you know, it'd be nice to bag this and come home and finally play a tip to buzzer, great game at the Garden. I mean, there's a lot of things that could, we could come in here tomorrow and we could feel on top of the world, like, wow. Or we can come in here tomorrow and either, you know, Cat and Brunson, they the minutes aren't staggered or they are and it doesn't work out or whatever it might be, and it could feel like it's over. But the reality is, it won't be, because there's I feel like this one's going deep, deep.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, we haven't seen the Brunson takeover game yet, and it would be fitting to me where you have some people now shockingly saying they want less Jalen Brunson. I could see a Brunson, you know, big-time special game tonight. The way that Cat, and Brunson said this after the game, the way that Cat looked like he would not let the Knicks lose, we need to see that from Jalen Brunson at some point. We have not seen that three games into this series.
Wait, what do you have, 43 points, though, in the first game? I think he had 43, but it wasn't as efficient. Like, it's where he's just, you know, shot for shot for shot for shot, fourth quarter magic. That would be nice. And by the way, I'm not calling for less shots for Jalen. I'm just calling for fewer minutes. And you know, that to me, but it would also free up Jalen. I think that when Carl's out there too long with him, guys, think about this. How many games does Carl Anthony Towns look really, truly involved when he's playing with Brunson? The answer is, I don't know what the exact answer is, but it's not nearly enough for my satisfaction. So I think there's some internal answers, which are good. Like, I would feel, you know, fairly distraught from a basketball perspective if I didn't think that there was anything that could happen tonight or that did happen in the previous game that would give me hope for this team moving forward. But to me, there is.
All right.
There's some internal answers.
Let's say tight game 5 minutes ago.
Okay.
What's your lineup?
Well, I'm going to give it to you, but I need to know, I mean, who's played great? Like, that matters. I mean, it's not just a one-off answer. Was Deuce money? Like, if Deuce has three triples and he's playing defense, which I know he can, I want Deuce out there.
And not Jalen Brunson?
I would have no problem with that.
Yeah, see, that's...
I would have no problem with that. I wouldn't.
Yeah, I can't do that. I have to go Brunson. I can't go down with Deuce McBride with the ball. And I'm talking about tight game, regardless of who's playing well at that point. To me, you got a tight game, you got to go with your best players. And I don't care about, well, you got to watch the game and let it see. That's great. Deuce McBride's a bench player for a reason. If he were that good, he would be a starter. He isn't at this particular point. I don't want Mitchell Robinson on the floor either. As much as I love Mitchell Robinson, he is an offensive liability. Now, if you're going to tell me it's with him and Towns, I'm a little more open to that. But what they're going to do is, in a tight game, under 2 minutes, maybe under 3 minutes, I don't know about five, they're going to foul Mitch. You want that?
No. You asked me about Jalen. You didn't ask me about Mitch.
No, I said final five. I mean...
Well, yeah, but you followed up on Brunson. Yeah. So, no, I don't want Mitch. That's true. I don't want him out there. No. Now, if you're up...
So, if there's no Mitch...
Well, if you're up a couple of possessions and there's a couple of minutes to go, then I might run I might run him out there. If it's, like, tight or I'm down, no, I can't risk him being out there.
They're still going to do... The perfect way was the way that they did it at the end of Game 3, because they could sub in and out.
I know.
Each offensive and defensive possession. It just worked out that way.
Yep.
So, we clearly know... Everybody knows what the issues are. It's not a secret. We're not guessing. You're not guessing. The coach is not guessing. Like, we all know the issue. McBride and Mitch are better defensive players than Brunson and Towns. End of story.
By far.
But Towns and Brunson are by far the better offensive options.
Yes.
Than both Mitch and McBride.
Yes, but what would you get if you had Deuce and Cat? Or if you had Brunson and Mitch. Now, Brunson and Mitch is less appealing to me for the obvious free throw deficiency reason.
Right.
But, again, this is under the premise of Deuce playing well. That's why I asked you, like, what's it look like?
Well, I'd say Deuce is playing great.
Well, if he's playing great, even if he's just playing well, not great, I got no problem letting him finish the game.
But
I'm going to win.
You could also have him on the floor with Brunson and Carl Anthony Towns.
You could. Is it Bridges, OG? Somebody... Yeah, I guess I'm amenable to that. I'm open to that.
You have Hart off the floor.
But again, but it doesn't circumvent my biggest issue. Sure, I could have Deuce and I could have Jalen on the floor and Cat. But I'm trying not to have Brunson and Cat on the floor because they're you're playing 5-on-3.
Right. Well, that's why I wanted to ask you specifically the question. I know my five.
I'd sit down Brunson if the situation calls for it. I'm fine with that.
More so than Karl Anthony Towns.
Yes.
Muhammad is calling from Levittown. What's up, Muhammad?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Okay, so I had a quick question. BT, so your initial statement is a little confusing because, you know, let's say, for example, both of them play 36 minutes, right?
Yep.
Their minutes are staggered. Mm-hmm. They only play 18 minutes together, right? After the first 6 minutes, Cat gets subbed out. Brunson's playing the entire first quarter, right? To start the second quarter, Cat is in with the second unit. And then same thing in the third quarter, they all come in together. From the start of the fourth quarter, Cat is leading the second unit. And then Brunson comes in with 5 minutes left in the game. So out of 36 minutes, they're only playing 18 minutes together. So
yeah, but fouls change. Yeah, but Hoppin, fouls change that. Fouls change that. So there's time when they're both on the bench because they have fouls.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Right.
So it's not, that's not true.
We have to, yeah, right.
That's all I'm saying. And by the way, I'm looking to create a different model here. The model for the Knicks this year has been, I'm going back to regular season as well, is to run these guys into the ground. And I'm fine with that. I'm not a minutes police guy. I'm truly not. And thanks for the call there, Muhammad. I appreciate it, buddy. We appreciate it. But I am also looking at the evidence provided. And the New York Knicks starting five together, and that includes their absolute two best players, two all-star starters, they just don't play well together. Going back to the Pistons series, it was always Deuce and it was Mitch as the only guys who were plus minus. The numbers were alarmingly gross. And I'm trying to work around it.
Well, that's why I think it was imperative to ask you, maybe not imperative, but I think relative to the conversation, I want to ask you who your closing five would be. Because if your whole point is that Brunson and Cat, you want them separated more.
Yes.
Okay, well, that could happen throughout the course of the game, but down the stretch,
mm-hmm.
and you answered it. Basically, yeah, you'd rather have McBride and Cat combo with Brunson on the bench.
Yeah,
as opposed
no problem
to,
with that.
Yeah.
Well, think about this, because the premise is to split them up as much as, but that's why you stagger the minutes, right? So you do that, and you do that because together they just don't work the way we thought or hoped that they would. So why would I then go back to the biggest weakness when the game is on the line with 4 minutes? I wouldn't.
Right. It would make no sense.
Exactly.
To your point. I would obviously go the other way. I want Jalen Brunson on the floor. My biggest issue is that, see, this is why the Knicks, it's an odd construction. What's the number one thing this postseason everybody's talking about? Oh, Mitchell Robinson, what an impact. Yeah, that's great. It is an impact. He's also a significant liability late in close games because they're just going to foul him and put him at the free throw line, which negates your biggest strength, your offense. Doesn't matter who's on the floor. If Mitch is there on the floor to close out, they're going to foul him and send him to the line. That kills your entire offense. So whatever reward you think you're getting, rebounding or defensive, is negated by that. So that's a problem. And then you want to play the part that, okay, well, Brunson and Kat together offensively are a problem. One ball, you got two guys who need to be on the ball or ball dominant. Okay, well, then that's a problem. You know, they have some issues here. I'm still not going away from their best player is Jalen Brunson. And if I need to sit anybody of the two, it's going to be Karl Anthony Towns, much as I love him, and I need to go with Jalen Brunson no matter what. That's why I'd have them both on the floor, but I'm running the offense through Brunson down the final.
I got you. Minutes. Listen, man, it's just a different philosophy. I get it. I think some people are with you. I think some are with me, yeah. And I don't. I really only matters what Tom Thibodeau's thinking here, what Tom Thibodeau actually does here tonight. Listen, I know it's over. It doesn't matter at this point. But think about the narrative. If I said, what was the one thing that we probably circled back to most during the season with the Knicks? It was probably their inability to beat the good teams. Fair?
Yeah.
Okay. We hit that reference point. Oh, 0-9.
I mean, but
10,
they didn't play
this,
good
that.
Defense either. But Mitch was out the whole year.
Understood. No, I get that there's certain circumstances and context there. But the overriding undeniable stat was the Knicks didn't beat the best teams in the NBA. And I don't think that was by accident, nor do I think it was really truly circumstantial. They didn't beat them because those teams have, one, good players, and two, were well coached. And when you have that, like the Pacers, it is easy to attack the Knicks' two biggest weaknesses, which are their awful defenders, which happen to be their stars.
Hector's in Wayne, New Jersey. What's up, Hector?
What up, Heck?
Guys, how are you?
Good.
Looking forward to tonight's game.
Yes.
So I 1,000 completely agree with BT and Sal. Yeah, I just disagree with you on this situation. The Knicks are -20 with the Pacers, plus minus, in this series when both Brunson and Towns are on the court together because they're defensively a sieve. If I was the Pacers coach, I'd be saying, hey, let's take advantage of this run a pick and roll off of Brunson to switch with Towns and Haliburton, just eat off of that. You know what I mean?
So you want Brunson off the floor in the final 5 minutes as a close game as well?
No.
That's what we're talking about here as well. So what do you mean no?
I mean, I understand. Hold on. So what I'm talking about is we're talking about the full game. We're talking about the full game. And I agree with you at the last 5 minutes. You gotta see how many fouls the guys have. You gotta think about defense also. It's not just about keeping them both on the court. I mean, because it's just gonna be a back and forth. You know what I mean? Now, with that being said,
I don't. I actually think it's a very simple thing. Do you want Brunson on the floor to close out or not?
If we start the game slow, I would propose that we don't start Kat and we have him with the second unit, right? So he can eat offensively, right? And then we mix and match like that and balance the minutes more out. Now, at the very end of the game, if Towns isn't touching the ball, right, but defensively his liability, I would say keep Jalen in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, Thibodeau's been working that really well with calling timeouts and, hey, when we need more defense, we call a timeout at that point. When the ball stops, we sub in. And, you know, if we need more offense, we put in Kat and Brunson, and hopefully, you know, they can work better together at those moments. But we're still keeping those plus minus -20 out of the game. That's what we want. We want to minimize that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's my opinion.
That's what we want to stay away
that's
from.
What you want. I just want to be clear for everybody. And thank you for the call, Hector. What we're now saying, what your point is, BT, and a lot of the callers are saying the same thing is, you want less of Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson on the floor together.
100%.
And to me, that just makes no sense whatsoever.
But it does when you look at the defensive numbers. It's unavoidable. It's you can't win this way, Sal. You can't.
But they've gotten this far. They should have won game one, so they can win this way.
But why did they implode in game one? So it's one thing to get the lead with those guys because we know they're dynamic players, clearly. But I don't think leads dissipate the way they have for them so far in the playoffs if they were better defensive players. Like, you get more offense, but then you give it back quicker as well.
That's not, to me, why they lost game one at all.
But I'm saying for the entire postseason.
Well, what if they have big leads in the postseason? If anything, they're coming back in these games.
Sal, the starting lineup is minus 20 for the conference finals and minus 41 overall for the playoffs. But the starting lineup, crazy stats.
But the starting lineup to me is irrelevant because
it's not when they play such big minutes and you don't have a bench.
But they played the same amount of minutes. Mitchell Robinson played the same amount of minutes as he played the day before.
He played 29, but again,
Anthony Towns played way more minutes than he did. He was starting both games.
No, I know what I'm saying. I know, but I'm saying like with the Deuce fouls and the Brunson fouls, like these things are reshaping the distribution of minutes, not out of want, but out of necessity.
Right.
And I think that, you know, Tom Thibodeau, in a way, is kind of stepping in, you know what? Like, I mean, it's forcing him to reevaluate how he coaches this team, and I think it's going to be better.
I just don't understand
We don't
that.
See it the same way. The defense is awful.
Right. Are you trying to make the defense better or the offense?
I want to make the defense better.
Okay.
I need to.
Okay, so then Mitchell Robinson should play more, right?
Well, yeah, but again, the last couple of games he's played, I'm not saying he needs to play 35. I'm fine he's at.
Okay.
No, I'm good where he's at now.
Down the stretch.
Deuce has to play more.
Down the stretch, these games generally are coming down to the fourth quarter, regardless of what happens with the starting lineup, like everybody going nuts about the starting lineup. That's great. You don't need to watch the first quarter. Like, that's how irrelevant the first quarter is. You really don't even need to watch the second quarter. And really, the third quarter, you could probably go without watching that as well because it comes down to the fourth quarter. In today's NBA, that's what it's like. I'm not saying we don't. Obviously, we do. But it's irrelevant who's playing in those. You could be up 18. You could be down 18. You could be up 20, down 20. We've seen both ways from the Knicks with different lineups, different iterations. It comes down to the fourth quarter and the final few minutes of the game. So if you want them to be better defensively down the stretch, I'm not saying I disagree. Obviously, I'd like them to be better defensively. But that would mean Mitchell Robinson on the floor. You can't do that. You can't have him on the floor down the stretch.
I don't know. I can't have him finish. I don't disagree with that. That's just reckless at that point. You're up by like 10 or 12, whatever.
I guess my point is that any way you slice it with separating Cat and Brunson does not work down the stretch.
It worked the other night.
Because you're having either one off the
floor. But it worked the other night.
Brunson was on the floor down the stretch.
No, but I'm saying, think about how much Karl Anthony Towns had an all-time Knick quarter, and Brunson was nailed to the bench for a massive chunk of it.
So the same
you
guy.
You think that Karl Anthony Towns is getting loose like that if Brunson's on the court?
Why was Karl Anthony Towns not on the floor in game two in the fourth quarter?
He didn't deserve to be. His defense was gross.
Okay, so
he deserved to sit and watch.
So the same guy.
It's a tough balance because
it's not to me. You play your best players.
No, but I respect that. I do hear you on that.
Win or lose, like that's
that's where I'm going to branch off and say, all right. At the end of the day, it sounds good. I'm going to go down with my guys, unless I think there's a better option, and I do. And it's not their best guys,
right?
And I'm hitting that button as long as the season goes on. That's what I'm doing,
right? And my issue with that is. You're saying that the better option is without their singular best player.
For longer stretches of the game, yes.
But even down in crunch time, potentially.
But reacting to the way the game's been going.
Fair enough,
but, yeah, 100%. I have no problem with that.
But if
none.
If Brunson's playing well, you're going to sit Cat down the stretch then?
If Brunson's... I just can't play them both.
Right.
I got you. Now, I'll make the choice. Like, if Brunson's having 47 tonight, he's an all-time bro. Well, then he's going.
Then Cat should be sitting, which I don't want.
I hear you. I know. See, to me, the problem is, like, if both of them flourish together offensively, and I think there's enough ample evidence that Cat does not when Brunson's dominating the ball, then I would say I can live, even though I really wouldn't want to, but I can convince myself to live with the defensive deficiencies. But we're not even getting optimal Cat because Jalen doesn't give him the ball.
Right, well, that to me is the problem. And that's why I've said before, the Knicks can't, Jalen Brunson, this is going back to the Detroit series, he can't play hero ball here.
They've
got to figure out a way to move the basketball and find
what the hell are they waiting for? Yeah. The NBA Summer League in Vegas to practice?
I get it, dude. It's not easy, but this is the roster here. I just cannot justify, I don't care what the numbers say, can't justify having their best players, certainly who turn out, I mean, obviously we know it's offensive, but those are their best players. On the floor, even if it's just one of a sports debate here about whether Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns should be on the floor at the same time or not. We're in the Eastern Conference Finals here. Usually these type of deficiencies, if they were that significant, BT, would have reared their head. I know you're saying that, you know, in part why they didn't beat the teams the good teams in the regular season. For me, it would be more about Mitchell Robinson not being there and not being fully healthy or not gelling yet. There are major other issues as well. Are we just supposed to ignore Mikal Bridges, who plays every minute of every game, and yet has the least impact of any player on the floor throughout the entire game.
No, I don't think it's right to ignore that. I think you and I have done a pretty good job of pointing that out, you know, but and also acknowledging he's made some really big plays here. But then I would say, okay, well, what's the root of Mikal Bridges's inconsistencies? Now, again, I'm not trying to just drop all this at Jalen Brunson's doorstep, but does he get the ball enough? It's a fair question.
I mean, he seems to be shooting it plenty in the first half. They don't go in.
You know, does he get enough looks? I mean, does he even merit more looks? I mean, they got a lot of guys who can eat.
So would they be better off without Jalen Brunson and just a point guard is going to facilitate?
No, I'm not saying that. And that's a dilemma with the Knicks.
Well, right. I mean, I get why that would be a part, but there's no way they would be better off without that. You need Jalen Brunson. So he's their guy. They should have done a better job of figuring out who plays better or who would complement his skill set the best.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still year one, which is why I'm not giving up hope, which is why I'm just pedal to the metal, head against the wall. I'm making this work one way or another. If it doesn't work, I got to figure out a way to make it work next year.
Yeah.
Because to me, the ultimate success will only come if Brunson and Cat thrive together. But it's not just those two. It's Bridges as well. It's OG Anunoby and consistency. It's depth on the bench. Like the Knicks, it's amazing that they've gotten this far, honestly.
Well, I mean, is it, though? I mean, they were supposed to. I mean, they had the third shortest odds to win the NBA championship the season.
I mean, with all things playing out the way that they have, with all the deficiencies that they have and all the issues, it is. And they wouldn't have been this far if the Celtics were healthy. I'm convinced the Celtics would have beaten them.
They probably. I would agree with that, too. Listen, I think that the Knicks rushed into the Karl-Anthony Towns trade a couple days before camp. You know, I also think that the problem, and again, that's why you talk about a big picture conversation, which you and I will obviously have when the season ends, I don't think that it's ever going to get better between Karl-Anthony Towns and Brunson, because I think Karl's only going to get slower as he gets older, and Brunson's not going to get taller, and he's not going to get more explosive. So their defensive deficiencies, guys, I got breaking news for everybody. They're not going to go away. When you traded for Towns, you traded for the good and the bad. When you signed Brunson, you traded for even more good than you thought and the bad. He's a turnstile on defense. He actually has the worst defensive rating of anybody in the playoffs this year. Look it up. And that's not changing. So we can sit here and say, well, Bridges this and OG that, but it's a star-driven league still. And their two stars have big deficiencies.
Darren is in Tampa, Florida. What's up, Darren?
What's going on, guys? Look, Sal, I completely agree with you. BT, I think you're out of your mind. Give me 2 minutes just to let you know why. It wasn't, you know, Jalen Brunson's assignment when Aaron Nesmith was hitting threes in front of the face of our forwards that are supposed to be these defensive geniuses on the wing.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It wasn't, you know, it wasn't Cat when Siakam was dropping 37 in game two. That's not their defensive assignment. The other part I want to say, too, about this whole situation is they've already figured it out. The reason
Darren, hold on. I'm sorry. I got to ask you a question, though. Mm-hmm. All right, so you talk about the wings. I get it. Nesmith going nuts, 8 of 9. Are you absolving Karl Anthony Towns of any wrongdoing on defense? Because it seems like you are. And if you are, you're nuts.
No.
Okay, I'm just checking.
I'm not absolving him, but I'm saying I think that the solution's already been figured out. We know Mitch can't close the games because he can't hit free throws down the stretch. So the reason, you know, that you keep Cat fresh and how you keep Cat fresh is Mitch and Cat on the floor more in the first half, right? Because Mitch can crash the boards, Cat can chill out by the three-point line, doesn't have to be the main guy down low and then the main guy on the other side down low, and he preserves energy for the fourth quarter when you need him. That's why you saw him take over a game. Just because Brunson wasn't on the floor doesn't mean that Cat took over the game without Brunson. The difference is Josh Hart has been atrocious in game one with Nesmith. That's why he's on the bench. And obviously Siakam was the best player on the floor in game two. So you preserve your wing defenders to close the game out. But by doing that, you also have to have Mitch get a little bit more run in the first half to crash the boards, limit the second chance opportunities, and allow these guys that are offensively minded to do their thing offensively.
Yeah, it works to me, Darren. Good call. Thank you for the call.
Yeah,
and it does make sense because you want Mitch... You want to maximize Mitchell Robinson, and the way to do that is to play him earlier rather than later, because later he is a liability.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, end of story. Like, there is no debate. We could debate Brunson and Cat and the mix or McBride or who's hot or not. There is no debate. You cannot have Mitchell Robinson on the floor late in the game during an offensive possession. You can't do it.
Yep.
There's no point of Mitch grabbing the rebound if he's going to be fouled instantly and have him go to the line. And maybe make one. Like, it just can't happen. That's a bad offense. You will lose more often than not with that. So then you got to maximize Mitch early on. I like his point about giving, you know, maybe Cat a breather earlier on, easing him into the game, having him more fresh for the fourth quarter because he's not playing, you know, down low both offensively and defensively earlier on.
I get it. I mean, the only thing that I would add is I don't think that Karl Anthony Towns' defensive issues are a byproduct of him being tired. He's just terrible. Right. He just is.
Right. Well, what about offensively, though?
Yeah, no. I'm going to give that some credence there.
Yeah,
I think there's something there.
We know defensively what his weaknesses are.
I think there's something there. I think when you have fresh legs, and we've seen it with him, we saw it at the end of the game the other night, game two.
Yeah.
He threw up the air ball, you know? I think when your legs get heavy, your little front rim or air balls or whatever it might be, and just, you know, I think that the ability for him to put a, even though he's not fast or explosive, but when he gets his momentum going in one direction, dude, that one dribble or two to the rim is effective. And if he's got more juice, then he's going to be better.
Mike is in Manhattan. What's up, Mike?
Mike.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I hear both of your points, and in a weird way, I agree with both of you. You know, BT... I think it depends on if we're looking for more offense or more defense, and that came up in a couple conversations earlier. And this is where I worry about Tibbs being that savvy in-game coach that we need him to be sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I worry that he's really married to Bridges more than needs to be. When Bridges is out there, I get it. He's part of Wingstop. He's come up with some big plays late in this postseason, but he doesn't realize that he's probably at best the third scoring option. Maybe the fourth, because I could argue OG is probably the number three scoring option. He's proven that he can carry this team without Jalen Brunson. Bridges, he gets a lot of touches, and I think that part of that is just JB trusting him, Josh trusting him. The ball seems to go to Bridges first offensively before it goes to Cat. And I never see, or I typically don't notice Bridges giving that ball up or looking for Cat. So part of this is the team's not looking for Cat enough. And they're going to Bridges, and Bridges thinks he's a top target scorer and needs to score the ball instead of facilitating to your best two players, which is JB and Cat, obviously, on the offensive side. And so I would like to see Tibbs maybe play Bridges less. You know, does he have to play 40-plus minutes a game? You know, and then we can try Mitch in the lineup some more. We don't lose defense by putting Mitch in early. I agree with that previous caller. You play Mitch more minutes. You know, front load the minutes for Mitch because he is a liability at the end of the game. But I worry about Tibbs being able to make these kind of savvy decisions with his personnel and just relying on Bridges way too much.
Mike, I think that, thanks for the call, first of all. I think that that's a fair criticism. I think it's an accurate observation. I think that Tom Thibodeau is as prepared as anybody I do. I give him, he's a lifer. He is, this guy's working 20 hours a day trying to come up with a stop here. He is, he's all hoops. But once things are moving fast, I think he's below average in terms of reacting to, and this has always been my criticism, what's in front of him, what unconventional adjustment might change the tone of the game, just doesn't have that gene. That's not Tom Thibodeau.
See, to me, I do trust Tibbs to be a good coach, one of the better coaches in the league. Obviously, he needs to go out there and continue to prove himself, get to an NBA Finals, win an NBA Finals eventually to be one of the greats. My issue is, just listening to our caller Mike there talk about it, and I think explaining very well, they have their top three offensive guys essentially need the same thing to score the basketball, and that's isolation, one-on-one type stuff. Brunson is at his best with the ball in his hands, going to get the angle, get near the rim, get to the free throw line or whatever. Just hit one of those jumpers, that's it. He can knock down a three, sure, but Bridges, same thing. Like Bridges, ball in his hand, dribble into the
get
paint,
to his mid-range.
Boom. Or maybe take a three, boom. Cat, same thing. Feed him the ball, whether he's going to shoot a three or go down low. Like, there's not a cohesive plan as a unit,
yeah,
offensively.
I agree.
That's the issue.
I agree with that. And, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just gonna, and I that's agree. The construction of the team. Like, Anunoby could be one of those guys who could be a spot and shoot wing, you know, player, right? Obviously, that's what you want. A guy who's, he's better than just a 3-and-D guy.
Yep.
But the appeal of Anunoby was that he could stretch the floor, sit in the corner, drive, kick it out to him, have him knock down an open three. And by the way, he's not even that great of a shooter has not been consistently enough in the postseason. They don't have enough good shooters, and they're not spacing enough or driving and kicking enough to take advantage of guys who could, like Kat, who's their best three-point shooter. He should be on the perimeter, let Brunson drive or Bridges drive and kick. They don't do it. It's too much iso ball with the three guys.
It's always so frenetic. It always seems like the Knicks are rushing. Yeah, I mean, I'm not even talking about like the last couple of sequences of the game. I mean, like the first few possessions of the game and throughout, like there's just a lack of, I don't say a lack of flow, but it does seem, maybe it is a lack of, like just disjointed where it's dribble into the corner. I can't go here. Let me flip it here. I got to get a couple dribbles. All right, let's throw up a 30-footer or a 25-footer. What I would like to, although the problem is when you have, even though he's a superstar, a scoring first point guard, that's generally what you're going to get because he's looking for his rather than setting guys up. And I'm okay with that. But, man, I feel like every shot that Karl Anthony Towns takes from beyond the arc is, it's never like, oh, let me just catch and shoot because I'm open by 5 feet. I see every other team have that. Miles Turner gets some clean looks here.
Right.
It's always like, he's got to shoot over somebody in front of the other team's bench, or I don't know. It just doesn't look easy.
The offense should go through Jalen Brunson, but the second and third option should complement him better as opposed to, all right, well, Bridges has it now, and he's going to dribble into the paint and, you know, his mid-range jumping, like we just said. Same thing with Karl Anthony Towns. They need one, at least one sharpshooter from downtown. And they need to move the ball better and change it up a little bit. And their guys can be, it's just maybe a bad mix with Bridges, Cat, and Brunson. But I'm throwing Bridges into the mix. And I'm also saying that I still would ride with this group because I want the best players on the floor closing out a game.
Now time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
Truth, bald face lie for the two bald guys here. Hoff, what do you got for us on this Tuesday?
Well, boys, I had a show this weekend, and I brought up Mr. Aaron Judge. And bald face lie, bald face truth, we'll start with you, Sal. Aaron Judge will win the Triple Crown this year.
I'm going to say that is a bald face lie. I just feel like that's hard. Where are we at right now? You have the numbers where he's at.
He's 25 points above batting average.
Yeah.
He's two RBIs behind Devers with RBIs, and he's one home run behind the home run leader with 18.
I think he'll end up leading two out of the three, BT. I just feel like it's
tough.
Yeah, that's it. Other than that, though, I mean, if anybody's going to do it, I would bet Judge.
I would totally say ball-faced truth. I think this is the year where we're going to look back in years from now, and he's going to hit 358. That's not going to be his Miguel Cabrera average type of year. And so I do think that that's been the elusive part. It's been the batting average. I think he's been, he had a couple in Colorado, but he's gonna have 55 home runs ish, maybe more. I'm going to have 135 RBIs, and I think the average will be there. So I'm going to say bold-faced truth. He's going to get it.
And the thing that bothers me, and maybe it's just because I'm not a Yankee fan, but I feel like I'm not – I feel like I take him for granted.
Yeah.
He's so good. Like, if this were any other play, I'd be like, oh, my God. Like, Alonso's start, in contrast.
Yeah.
Wow, look at Pete Alonso starting like this. He's on fire. He's almost Judge-like. But obviously, we've seen him now fall off. And yet, when Judge does it, it's like, well, we expect him to dominate baseball. So the expectations are, even if they're exceeding the expectations, it's still, you just kind of expect it, so you take it for granted a little bit.
That's how you know you're special. I mean, the lack of acknowledgement, because we're so used, it's like we're desensitized to his greatness. It's a good point, but you know, I try to enjoy him every night, but there's no doubt we expect this and whatever. It's amazing.
Underappreciated. Is he the best player in baseball?
Oh, no question, dude.
Who would...
Yeah, the only other person is Shohei Ohtani that people compare it to. But again, the guy hasn't thrown a ball in 2 years, so I really can't... I know he went 50-50 last year, 50 stolen bases, but he's also freaking lazy. He doesn't play the field. He better be stealing bases.
Yeah.
All right. BT.
Mm-hmm.
Bald-face lie, bald-face truth. The Mets are a better team trading away Mark Vientos for a pitcher and making Brett Beatty their everyday third baseman. Bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth.
I'm going to say bald-faced lie. First, I'm not going to abandon Vientos that quick. That's ridiculous. He looked great last year. I don't love what I'm seeing. And really, his year's been odd because there was a lack of engagement or hustle early in the year. You guys remember a couple bad looks. He got chastised by Bolt Lindor and the skipper. But I have to also keep both of those men here because I think that there's a good chance. Well, I mean, Pete's going to eventually be gone. So I think Vientos slides to first. I think Beatty, who's better equipped to play third, I'm looking to keep him, not get rid of them.
I would be lying to you if I said it did not cross my mind this weekend for the first time about trading Vientos.
With Vientos.
Yeah, now, twofold. Number one, I'm with you. I'm not ready to give up on him just yet. Also, I'm not selling low.
That's the point.
That'd be a major mistake.
Value's low.
But it would not, like, he has not been anywhere near the player that he was a year ago. Remember the expectations of what he was going to be in the big leagues, which is more in line with what he's doing now than what he did last year. Coupled with Brett Beatty, even in a short period, look, forget about offensively, although offensively he's been very good here since coming back up, since being recalled. Defensively, he's playing gold glove third base. Like, that's not something that happens by accident or fluke. He is playing a confident, legit third base. I personally would pencil Brett Beatty into third base every day. Let's see what you have here once and for all. See what you have. And then I'd make Vientos the DH and see if he could get going. So I'm going to say a bald-faced lie.
Bald-faced truth.
No, I would not trade him. I still would not trade him.
Vientos?
No, I would not trade him. Okay. I'm going to say bald-faced lie for now. But I think the fact that I would even be open to it is very telling about... Like, if they were both at their peak, I still am not sure I would trade Vientos over Beatty at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just don't think Vientos will ever be the defensive player that Beatty is.
Yeah, and not at third base, he won't.
That's
no.
No. So, all right, so maybe you move Vientos to first in the event Pete's not there.
Yeah, he's got to justify it by hitting more, though.
But for now, I would have Vientos be the primary DH. That's why I would not trade him.
And finally, bald-faced lie, bald-faced truth. Sal, the Knicks will bring back the same starting five next season, regardless of outcome in playoffs.
It's a good one, Huff.
It is a good one.
Very good one.
Now, which starting five are we talking about here?
There you go.
I mean,
that's why it's a good one.
Well, you're talking about Brunson, Hart, Bridges, OG, and Cat.
I do not think the Knicks are going to bring back the same starting five, no. And even if you throw Mitchell Robinson in there,
mm-hmm.
they can't. There's no way. So I'm going to say it's a bald-faced lie. They will not bring back the same starting five, regardless of the result. We know that they need to change something. They know they need to change at least one of the significant pieces needs to be altered.
Okay. I would change things up here. I don't know that they can. I mean, Karl Anthony Towns is under contract. So is Jalen Brunson. OG's got 250 million reasons why he's going nowhere. You gave up 5 first-round picks for Mikal Bridges. You going to really trade him? No, you're going to extend them, even if it's foolishly. I'm going to say, though, it's a bull-faced lie. They won't, because I don't think Josh Hart will start next year. He'll be on the team.
Who will?
I don't know.
Mitch,
I mean, going to be...
Right?
No. Somebody who's on a different team now, like a different... a sniper, a guy that you can get for, you know, $12, $13, $15 million a year, like a Nesmith type, somebody like that.
Right.
You can't keep starting with Josh. I love Josh Hart. He's not an NBA starter on a team that's trying to win a championship.
Maybe not. Maybe somebody, and I love Josh Hart too.
Love him, but
he's an integral part here, but maybe somebody that could, I don't know, shoot a three?
Definitely, of course.
More consistently, that's the thing that's, it's a glaring weakness from the construction of this team. All right, that does it for Bold Face Truth, Bold Face Lie. Good job there. Hoff, back to the calls. Rich is in South Jersey. What's up, Rich?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
All right, a week to go. Then I'm 86.
All right, Rich. You're getting there, getting closer.
A couple things. I didn't hear that BK said it, but I had the same thought. All year, they played like this. They didn't beat any good teams. I don't mind Brunson dribbling the ball, but he's got to take it less time. If it's not there, you can't take it down. All the other players are rushed.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning of the year, Cat was shooting over 55% from three, and they never give him the ball enough. Now it comes down to now. First of all, I can't see playing a whole year and the coach not running set plays for Cat. Not as the second option when Brunson can't make his move. He's got to have set plays for him. And obviously they can't be on the floor together. So at the end of the game, it's determined if you need offense or defense. If you need defense, like they need in one of the games, I think it was the second game when they had by, I don't know how many points with a couple of minutes to go. They had them both on the court. You take them both out.
Well, that might be a little tricky, Rich, and happy early birthday, buddy. You're going to be 86. That's awesome. All right, so he said a couple of interesting things, and the one thing is that jumped out to me was how it's the players aren't left with a lot of time once Jalen does give up the basketball. And he's right, and that's not going to change. See, the toughest thing for Jalen is that he's not tall and he's not explosive. So for Jalen Brunson, but he's amazing with his footwork and his leverage and his angles, but to get to his spot, to get off that little 5'8" floater that we've seen a million times when he's dancing around like Baryshnikov, the way he does that is by taking time because he has to set you up because he can't jump over you and he's not fast enough to go by you. And when that's happening, Sal, think about it. The other team scores a bucket, inbound the ball, 24-second shot clock starts. By the time he starts to initiate it, it's down to 17 or so. And now by the time he shoots it or doesn't, it's down to 5 or 4. That's a problem.
Yeah, I still love him and his offense.
I do too, but that's a problem.
It's at least consistent. You know what you're getting. Now it's on them to figure out how to work around that. That's why I thought it was imperative to get a big that stretched the floor. That's why I loved the Karl Anthony Towns trade. I know he can be more than just a big who can stretch the floor, but with the Knicks, they need him primarily to be a big that can stretch the floor. So I'm not sure why they don't do that more often, especially if you're going to have Mitchell Robinson in the game. But again, they just have too many guys. You know, Bridges can't shoot in the first half. Mitch is an offensive liability. Their stars are defensive liability. They have too many. They're starting two guard for the most part of the year. Josh Hart can't shoot. Like, they have too many
weaknesses. There's issues.
That's what I'm saying. I can't believe that they're actually here. Like, we talk about, we pick them apart like they're awful, but yet they're in the Eastern Conference Final. We'll come back, reset down with the King topic of the day. It is the Knicks ahead of Game 4 tonight, 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the
question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.